Nothing beats getting to know kind of those actors and the users and spending time within their context to really understand how things are really done. It's one thing to ask how things should be done or how things are, what the guidelines are around how things should be done. It's another thing to actually observe what's really happening.
You're listening to Inside Health Tech from Apixio. Join us as we explore the intersection of healthcare, data, and technology with leading industry experts. Inside Health Tech from Apixio.
Hey folks, thanks for joining us for another episode of Inside Health Tech. I'm today's host, Mark Scott, Chief Marketing Officer at Apixio. And today I'm joined by fellow Apixion, Alan Sun, who heads up product here at Apixio. Welcome, Alan.
Hey Mark, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming. So I wanted to start the conversation just learning a little bit about you, your background, and maybe a little bit about how you got to Apixio. We'll talk a little bit more about that and your role here at Apixio, but wanted to learn a little bit more about how you got here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been at Apixio now for 2 years. It's kind of a natural progression within healthcare. Healthcare has been an area of focus of mine for most of my career. I started off really trying to address challenges with getting information to clinicians at the point of care and expanded to different parts of the industry, from supporting life science companies and marketing for pharmaceutical products to increasing access to care for behavioral health services to healthcare data analytics. But what led me to Apixio was a challenge that I ran into with trying to process data for analytics and getting access to high quality data for insights. It turned out a lot of the data that we needed for the projects we're working on were locked within the clinical notes, the unstructured notes, and there wasn't an efficient way of getting access to that. So around that time, I learned about Apixio, and I thought this is a great opportunity of leveraging AI to address that problem. And I've been really excited to be at Apixio since then, tackling that issue.
Thanks. So I want to ask you a follow-up question there. You've spent a lot of your career in healthcare, but why? What drew you to healthcare in particular? I mean, I know you didn't grow up in the Valley, but you surely settled here, and there's a lot of other kinds of tech companies that certainly can use your skills. So why healthcare? What drew you here?
Yeah, well, I started not in healthcare. I started focused on education. What my area was trying to figure out, where can I have the biggest impact and have a meaningful impact on people's lives? And early part of my career was education in K-12. So I was consulting for nonprofits, trying to help them manage their services and programs in an efficient way. But then later on, I was introduced to folks that were participating and acting in different capacities within healthcare and learning more about some of their challenges with access to information. And that was around the time where mobile as a technology was becoming an emerging platform. This was the days of the Palm Pilots with the stylus. Yeah, this is pre-iPhone. And I was really intrigued, how do you increase access to information and leveraging that emerging platform? When I moved out to the Bay Area, there was one company at the time that was operating that intersection called Hippocrates, and that drew me in. Since then, I've been hooked. I've been hooked to healthcare.
Nice. Thanks for that, Alan. So coming from that education and then tech background, what were some of the assumptions you made about product development in particular in healthcare? I mean, healthcare has that long storied, and I think probably not accurate today, reputation of being slow, stodgy, difficult to change. But what were some of the assumptions you made, or were those them, before you joined healthcare in a product development role?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things getting into it, which was a particular area of concern, which is something I think many folks think about with respect to healthcare, is all the regulations that are involved. It makes it a difficult environment to try to enact change and worrying about things like HIPAA and security and everything else. And another one, which was something that I assumed, was access to the technology was a problem, that if you offered or provided the technology and the services, folks will use it. That it was really just a lack of investment in healthcare was a problem, and that there was just not really the knowledge of what existed in other parts and other industries. And you just made that available and educate folks on what could be done, then problem solved. So I had a pretty naive perspective on that getting into it early on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously privacy, regulatory issues and hurdles are a challenge. From your early days, what were some of the early lumps or lessons you took?
There's so many. Where should I start? Well, kind of getting into that, I share what some of my assumptions were going into it in terms of the challenges of the regulatory environment, as well as bill that they will come as two operating assumptions. Getting into it, realized that both were wrong. It's still a challenging area from a regulatory perspective, but it varies a lot from types of problems that you're working on and what sort of implication the regulatory environment would have. And so kind of early on, I was so focused on some of the regulatory things that maybe added complexity into the products that we were building in. But there may have been simple ways where we didn't have to think about that. We're developing processes that were inherently kind of more slower and methodical and not as lean as we're doing today because there was overly concerned about the regulatory environment. Mm-hmm. And then the other part in terms of kind of a lesson learned there was there's so many incentives and counter-incentives within healthcare. And it's such an important, impactful thing. Clinical decisions can have a massive impact on somebody's life and health, that behavior change becomes a challenging thing. And so there was a product that we were really excited about that brought data together from disparate systems to help inform decisions around infection management. So the prescribing of antibiotics. And the problem we were trying to solve was to reduce the overuse of these broad spectrum, really powerful antibiotics that we're trying to limit the use of. So you only use those when you need to. And we thought bringing the information and providing that in front of clinicians to really think about what would be most effective for their patients would be a huge win. And it turns out that there was a lot of inertia to overcome with respect to that. And as much as they knew what was the right thing to do for addressing that problem of overuse, they also wanted to make sure that they addressed the problem for their patient the first time. And choosing a powerful antibiotic accomplished that goal, even though it was counter from the first one. And so understanding kind of the context around the decisions that are being made and the incentives involved there and what problems they're trying to solve was really important. It wasn't just a technology issue.
Interesting. So it leads me into my kind of next question and probably the rest of the conversation around developing products in healthcare. It's certainly, I mean, you talked about the regulatory environment. That's one challenge. And then what I refer to as the user chain is really complex between the different personas and needs. You have clinical actors and needs. You've got buyers and users. You've got administration. You've got regulatory needs that you have to meet in terms of product requirements. And then you're trying to develop and design for these users. How do you overcome some of that? And what have you found kind of works? How do you work through that complexity?
Nothing beats getting to know kind of those actors and the users and spending time within their context to really understand how things are really done. It's one thing to ask how things should be done or how things are, what the guidelines are around how things should be done. It's another thing to actually observe what's really happening. And this is maybe another lesson that I learned the hard way is with respect to a program related to drug samples that are kind of managed within the office. When clinician, this is back when that was a big thing, where pharma reps would bring in drug samples and the team would sign off for it, and they were in the sample closet within the doctor's office. All of that required a physician signature. It turns out that, yes, physicians need to sign on it, but that's not the only part of that workflow. There was a lot of others in the office that were involved in the management of the decisions and maintaining that drug sample that wasn't exclusively and limited just to the physician. So solving for the physician as being the facilitator and the manager of that inventory was not a whole picture of the problem. And we solved for that, but we didn't solve for the entire problem. So it wasn't until we really got into the clinical practice and understood the various roles and who was involved and who was really on point for ensuring that that sample closet was managed and the inventory was there, were we able to actually solve that problem effectively.
Yeah, not to mention the people who control the meetings at the front of the office for people to get in. So you've got all of that complexity there are traditional methods that you would go through, shadowing, user interviews, recording those sessions, heat maps, that sort of thing from an application perspective. Talk a little bit about those challenges and how you complete research? I mean, how are you doing, how do you do user research and still guard patient privacy concerns?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Early on, that there wasn't a whole lot of user research being done. I feel like those were practices that may have been more pervasive in other technology sectors. User-centered design, design thinking, those didn't apply at quite the same levels within healthcare. And so that was kind of more of a novel thing that we needed to work through within an organization to develop that competency, develop that understanding of how to enact that and put it into practice in a way that was efficient and beneficial. But to your point in terms of the challenge with privacy and actually trying to engage within what is a very private environment or encounter between a physician and a patient, it turns out that well, it's harder now than it was before in terms of what some of those controls were. But it, when we approached the clinical team around what we're trying to do and why, they were amenable to it because they see that the benefit of trying to understand that context can help them really solve the right problems. And then the patients were also willing to do it. So the step that we need to do is make sure that we're very transparent around what we're trying to do, clear as to the roles of the researchers versus the clinical team, get the appropriate consents up front. But having that dialogue, there was quite a bit of receptivity to being able to engage in that right way. One of the challenges is in other environments, we'd be able to record everything. So you can go back to it and research it and reference it and synthesize it over and over again. Not everything can be recorded in a compliant way. And so the way we compensated for that was to transcribe as much as possible and anything that we needed to maintain, make sure that there was no sensitive information in anything that was captured. And so we had to think more thoroughly around what those means of capturing information were and what was persisted and then what we needed to take note of. But once you get in the habit of doing that, then it becomes somewhat second nature.
How has product design evolved over time? I mean, you touched on it, but I mentioned healthcare had this, especially device and tech, had this reputation of being slow and stodgy and ugly. And I think that was accurate for a long period of time. It looks like they were all kind of designed by someone in Excel. But things have changed. One, what's pushing that change? And maybe you can talk a little bit about how design, product design, user interfaces needs are being pushed and why are they being pushed to evolve?
Yeah, and I think this goes beyond just in healthcare in general and just an understanding of just product development overall and how do you build great products. And to build great products, you need to really understand who you're building it for and their context and what are the problems that you're trying to address. And so these principles that were being kind of evolved and developed and adopted kind of across the industry are simply being put into play here in healthcare as well. And I had the benefit of working somewhere where we built our in-house design studio with folks that used to work at these studio design shops like the IDEOs and Frogs and whatnot, where that's where I was introduced to many of these design practices and saw the benefit of really thinking deeply around user needs and incorporating that into what we're doing. And in healthcare, I find that it's such a profound impact on people's lives, and there's so much at stake that so many of these behavioral concerns are just amplified. There's the fear of the unknown, there's a lot of uncertainty, it's a very complicated environment to navigate for people. There are so many different constituents with varying incentives that, you know, everything that may apply in the consumer space in terms of trying to help inform what someone's behavior is going to be in a drive to and promote better change seems to be just all amplified in healthcare. And so as much as we can borrow from all the lessons learned elsewhere, it's going to help us produce better products.
Yeah, there's that inherent tension in healthcare. And I think nurses are usually the primary point of this. The how they do it versus how you should do it is always a conflict. I've always said that if you want to find a workaround for something, just give it to a nurse. She'll figure it out in about 3 minutes. That's certainly another challenge. And, you know, as you bring a new product to market and you've gone through your user-centric design or your user testing and you're building it for the right person, how do you overcome? What are some of the tactics you've employed over the years to overcome that tension between what we should do and what we're currently doing? How do you incentivize practice change from a product development perspective?
Yeah, and that's part of what's driving the human-centered design is if you understand the context in which they're operating and you can really solve for meaningful pain points that they have, that they've shared, that you've observed, it becomes easier because they get it and they get that you get it when you're developing these products, and then that makes it that much more important. The other aspect, though, is also understanding, as you better understand the context, is knowing what are the other factors involved. So, you know, what are the systems that they're currently using? Why are they doing it? How can you fit things within those workflows in such a way that it's not as substantial a change? With clinical teams, they're very busy. They're trying to get through a lot. It's pretty complicated. And so if you can make that transition as straightforward and simple as possible, and best yet minimize whatever new thing that they need to do, then it becomes a lot easier to drive adoption.
Cool. So great. You got a great answer. I want to take that with the data collection into my next question, which is around data. So we've always, you know, we've talked to some other people about healthcare's data problem. We've got a massive amount of data. Nothing is more ripe for change and added value with some of these new AI techniques than healthcare is in many pointed use cases. I wanted to know if you could talk a little bit about healthcare's data challenges. You mentioned earlier about those misaligned incentives and push towards value-based care, that tension between fee-for-service and paying the bills and those misaligned incentives. But talk a little bit about the healthcare data challenges and how those play into those misaligned incentives.
Yeah, when we talk about the challenges of healthcare data, there are numerous dimensions at play. There's a access to data. Where does the data reside? Where is it created? How do you enable the folks that need access to the data to get access to the data, even just from a technology and interoperability perspective? There's also this challenge around what the data is and what it represents. It's used for different purposes. A lot of the data collection historically in healthcare has been used to drive administrative processes more so than clinical processes. And that difference is a meaningful difference. If you want to use the data to drive clinical operations or decisions, you may need to dig more deeply into it to try to get what you're looking for. The stuff that is well-structured may not really support those use cases effectively. There's also a regulatory compliance ownership question around data is whose data is it? Who has the authority to make decisions about where it goes and who uses it and how it's used? Is it the patient? Is it the provider that's entering it? What are the controls around that that adds another layer of complexity to it? And then there's just the consistency of the data's entered in EHR or some other system. It is very fragmented. And so data that gets entered in one system, be entered in with a different context and a different format. And it's really hard to pull all that together to get a complete picture and understanding of what's going on. And so there's a lot of different issues with data. So it's not just one challenge, but it's many challenges.
The interoperability discussion has been going, seems like it's been raging for a decade as it relates to display data for medical devices. Now, through portability, through different EHR systems and other administrative systems. I mean, just to take you forward a little bit, out on a limb a little bit, maybe, as you look towards the future, as it relates to this interoperability issue, you're seeing changes with some of the EMRs opening up some of their APIs, even for free, to enable or spur on some of this innovation. How important is that to these future products, to the future of healthcare, really, and how it's being administered and delivered?
Yeah, it's critically important. And there's a data question aspect of that question, but it's also the future of healthcare aspect of that question. If you think about where healthcare is going, it's evolving to be, I think, more distributed. We have companies that are focused on specific disease categories, that they're becoming best in class and being able to drive positive outcomes in those disease categories. And that's, you know, those are services that are occurring outside of the traditional, you know, place of service or the point of care as we were thinking of it. So as these services continue to expand, as we as patients begin to take greater control of management of our health and making choices around what supportive services we need, data is going to be entered in different environments. It's going to be collected through wearables for monitoring and managing it. And so we're going to see pretty distributed and even more fragmented data collection and data use across the industry. And on top of that, healthcare is becoming more personalized. We're realizing that each of us respond to therapeutics in different way, conditions present in different way. And as we think about how do we really understand what's best for a particular patient, we need to use the markers that identify what's different about their health and their context to make those decisions. And so the degree of precision needed for the data, coupled with how disparate the different services and data sources are going to be, makes this a much bigger challenge to focus on.
So seems like there's a big opportunity to enable portability. We've seen companies, Apple taking their approach to doing it with HealthKit and access to your personal health portal to enable some of that portability or access. There's been a lot of middleware companies who have tried to enable that access across the different EMRs or administrative systems. When you look towards the future, and again, pulling you out a little far, but how do you see some of that getting resolved? I mean, we've got regulatory initiatives, sure. But from a technology perspective, some of the companies out there trying to solve for this, is it a middleware solution? Is it increased portability and access by the patient themselves so they own their data and can enable portability? What do you see the future as in terms of resolving some of this connectivity issues?
Yeah, I think it's all in. Yeah, I don't see kind of a single solution to this. I think the regulatory environment to promote and drive and accelerate change and openness of data portability is really important. I think historically we've seen that there's been resistance from certain industry players in that area. And in that case, it does take a regulatory body to help drive some change. As we empower individuals to control more of their health, they have to have access to their data so they know how to navigate the system.
And I mean, you've already talked about the decentralized or distributed, the increase in decentralized healthcare and how people are receiving and responding to their care, particularly through the use of telehealth. This last 18 months or 17 months, or however long it's been through COVID, has really put a lot of fuel on the fire for this decentralization of healthcare. What other things do you see changing because of our experiences through COVID, through this decentralization, through the use of other electronic means to connect with our physicians? If you had to hit a couple, what do you see changing in a positive way?
Yeah, look at kind of what's transpired over the last year plus in COVID. There's acceleration in a lot of developments. As we think about even the acceleration of bringing the vaccines to market and how quickly they made it to market and got through approvals and everything else, and looking at the distribution channels and how that works was a very massive change and a massive effort. And I applaud all those involved in there, but also provides a bit of a proof point that it can be done and it can happen more quickly. And we could think about what does that mean in terms of applying that for new products coming forward. And the other aspect of it too, kind of related to this emergence of telemedicine, which has been something that has been increasing and accelerating over time, but over the past year, out of necessity, it's one that made and forced clinicians to become more comfortable with it and patients to be comfortable with it and to drive and open up the use of the technology to enable it. So there are a lot of forcing functions there that increase the adoption of it. And I don't see that going away. I think that we are figuring out like what makes sense to do in that type of setting, what doesn't make sense to do in that type of setting. How can we enable more things to be done in that type of setting in terms of enabling home diagnostics and other things to manage it, which really forcing some really interesting questions around where can care be delivered and how do you enable that to work just as effectively and efficiently and increase access to care for so many others by letting that happen closer to where they reside or work. There's the other aspect too, just even from a healthcare technology company perspective and product development, is the teams working in a more distributed way and adopting those tools and being forced to work remotely. That's driving kind of changes in work styles, work function, increasing greater diversity within the organization because folks can start participating in healthcare from anywhere, not just in the pockets of investments that are occurring in certain locales. So I think there's a lot of positivity coming out of it.
Well, that's good. It has been a painful 16 months or so. Well, the last question I wanted to finish on, and being someone who his career has continued to grow and expand in healthcare in a product development perspective or function, what advice would you give to someone who might be interested in getting into healthcare or is in product development and has thought about entering healthcare, what advice would you share with them?
Be patient. You know, it's not so much that the industry moves slowly. There's a perception and certainly truth to that, but the problems are hard and there are a lot of different challenges and opportunities around there. And as you're working through that, there's a degree of patience to tackle these complex problems. With that, as you make progress, there's also a high degree of reward. There's a lot of upside in terms of the benefits of solving those problems and what sort of impact you can have on such an important aspect of people's lives and for so many different people. But that patience and persistence in tackling these problems is something that I like to remind folks about, that change does not occur overnight, although there are certain events that could accelerate that.
Thank you, Alan. And wanted to thank you for your time today and for the rest of our listeners for joining us today on this episode of Inside Health Tech. We'll see you next time.
Great. Thank you, Mark. This was fun.
Inside Health Tech is a production of Apixio. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To learn more about Apixio's AI analytics solutions for healthcare, visit apixio.com. Inside Health Tech from Apixio.